And golden. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Comic Chronicle Podcast. I am your host, Society's Mutant / Metahuman, Dakota Morgan, coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona. And right now I have with me a guy who I've known for actually a couple years now, actually, now that I think about it. I've been a big supporter of him, been a supporter of me. I love him with a passion because he does absolutely great work and he's absolutely an amazing guy. That is Jason Murr. Welcome on the podcast yet again, Jason, but single. Marcus's not with you today, but just single Jason today.
I am flying solo. Thank you very much for that intro, and thank you for having me. You're very gracious, and I appreciate the support.
Of course. I like to tell the truth. I really don't like it, and it may seem like, oh, you're just blowing them a little bit. Like, no, I tell the truth because it's nice to hear the good truth, you know, not the bad truth of like, you suck. It's like, no, you're actually really good.
Yeah.
No, folks.
Someone wants to give you their honest opinion, and you're like, you know what? Why don't you keep that to yourself?
Yeah, right. It's like, yeah, not the negative ones. The negative ones keep to yourself. The positive ones, we'll take it. We need more positivity in this world. But, folks, in case you don't know who Jason is, Jason, you've worked on some pretty good books, actually. Some really, really good books. Mostly, you've been on with Marcus on for Voracious. And also, we're talking today Doctor Strange and the Punisher and Magic Bullets as well. We'll get to that later. But, Jason, you're a comic artist. How is that in today's world? Like, what is that like?
What's it like just being a comic artist in general?
Yeah, like, what is a day-to-day sort of thing? Like, I mean, is it full-time for you? I don't think I've ever asked that before. Is it full-time?
It's almost full-time,
almost.
You know. So I started seriously doing comics maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And at the time, I had just left a graphic design job. And the goal was always to do more comics. But, you know, I had to rely on design to pay the bills. So what I would do is, over the last few years, I've been trying to do little less graphic design, a little more comics. Still, you know, I'm getting full on comics, and I'm almost there. But you know, I'll take the random graphic design job, because you know, I don't think it's any secret that, you know, being an independent comic artist, you know, when you're not working for the big two, you know, your success depends on how well a book sells. So you don't have like a super steady income, so sometimes, you know, yeah, I do take those graphic design jobs to fill the gaps. Or if just, you know, there's not a gig lined up at the moment. But, you know, I've been bouncing around a lot. Like, we do Voracious, but then every once in a while I'll do fill-in issues for independent companies. So, you know, I want to do as much comics as I can. So when the opportunity arises, yes, I am full-time comics. I am full-time comics until notified otherwise.
Yeah, until someone's like, listen, you can't afford full-time comics. It's like, okay, fine. You can't afford it. All right, fair enough, fair.
That's what a little bit working comics is, you know. You're like, this is a ridiculous thing I'm doing, and I hope no one taps me on the shoulder and says like, oh no, this isn't a job, you can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Fine, but you gotta wrap it up.
I feel the same way about working in film. It's because they're like, listen, no, son. It's like, what do you think you're doing? And it's like, well, trying to. In the business of imagination, that's what. And it's like, well, no. Here's your clock-in slip. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, no. But you know what, though? You're doing what you're trying to do, what you love. And I highly respect that and admire it. As someone else who's trying to do that, is you're going out there, you're trying hard, you're making it work. Now, Jason, were you always a fan of comics growing up as a kid, man? Because I've never really been able to, like, dive deep in with you guys. Being like, hey, tell me way more about yourselves, because we want to go behind the scenes with the Voracious creators. But today's the day. We at least get half. Marcus-san will be on soon, hopefully. But have you always been a comics fan, man? Or has it just been, like, something in the past couple of years or a few years or since childhood?
No, so I'm one of those diehard, as long as I've been alive, as long as I can remember, you know. I was you know, I had my my Batman coloring books I remember as a kid. I was dazzled by it. I was a big fan of the old Batman 66 show they used to rerun on like Nick at Night. You know, and I'd have the occasional comic bought for me here and there, but I feel like I've always been reading comics. You know, a couple major milestones was one, you know, I was I was probably around eight or nine when both the Batman animated series premiered and the X-Men animated series premiered.
Oh.
Lit the fire under me. And then, you know, my mom will probably regret saying this, but I remember when I was probably around that age too, she told me one day, she's like, you know what? You should have a hobby. You know, do you want to collect anything? She was
stuff.
And I said, you know what? I like comics. And she's like, well, maybe you should start collecting comics. And then that was the end of it there. Because then it was trips to the comic shop. It was mom, it's Wednesday, I need a ride. And she's like, didn't you just buy comics? And I was like, no, that was last Wednesday, mom.
It's a new Wednesday, mom.
The week.
Oh, yeah, the end.
And then, so I was, you know, and then at that point forward, I was in. And then when I was around 15, right around 15 going on 16, my comic shop put up a sign that said, help wanted. And I said, oh, please, Jesus, let me get this job. This is all I've ever wanted. And I was a month out from turning 16. So I was like, can I apply now? And, like, you know, and you'll wait to hire me in a month. And they're like, you know, just come back in a month. The job will probably still be there. And on my 16th birthday, I had my mom drive me to the shop. And I filled out my application. I might have been the only one that applied. But, you know, at the time, I was super, super excited about it. And I really wanted it. And I got the job. So then I ended up working in a comic shop all through high school. And then a couple years in the college. I worked until, like, probably my freshman or sophomore year in college. But at that point, it was more just to keep my discount.
Yeah, you're just doing it. You're like, you got to save money. Comics do get expensive, folks. If you just get the cheap ones, comics do get expensive. So you are smart. Oh, yeah. You save for that discount. You're like, I need a discount.
Yeah, and that was when I was in college too. So I had to, you know, really make a tight budget.
Yeah, you're getting half a ramen. You're like, all right, listen, I'll pay for half the package of ramen, and then I'll save the others for comics. All right, and that's how it's gonna go.
Totally. And then, so then I got a job. I started working for a while, and then, you know, I started to, you know, make a livable wage, and that's when I got, that was bad in terms of, like, oh, now I can buy any book I want, because, I'm an adult, I have money.
Yeah.
And then, it's been like that ever since. And then, in terms of making comics, yeah, I've always wanted to make comics. When I was a kid, you know, I drew a ton of my own comics. Again, it's one of those things that, as long as I can remember, I was always making my own comics.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was thinking about college, I was like, you know, I think I want to do comics. And at that point, there wasn't a ton of schools that taught that sort of thing. You know, there's like the Kubert School.
Yeah.
There's a couple of schools that have programs. And my dad said, you know, you can do whatever you want, but I prefer if you went to a school that gave you, you know, a regular bachelor's degree. Oh. As opposed to, like, a trade school, you know, like a comic-only trade school.
Mm.
And so I went to school for a while, and then I kind of got scared off of doing illustration.
What?
Mainly, you know, I went to an art school.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there was a couple things that happened. One, like, you know, when you're in high school and you can draw well, you know, it's good. You're probably the kid in your high school that can draw well. But then when you get to an art school, you realize, oh, every kid in this school can draw well.
The competition escalates.
All the kids, you know, the art kids from their high schools. So that kind of intimidated me. And then, you know, I was told that if you're going to do this illustration thing, you're going to have a freelance lifestyle. And that kind of scared me off too. So I stopped kind of pursuing comics for a bit.
Hmm.
And then I only recently got back into it in probably the last 4 or 5 years. I worked at a job for a while that was relocating out of state. And I kind of took it as a sign to, like, maybe go back and try to pursue this passion. So I got back into comics, and I was doing freelance graphic design. And that's where it started, and that's where, like, Voracious was birthed.
It's true. That is true. I remember the origin story for Voracious. It was a good one, too. That's, you know what? Power to you, Jason. That's amazing, because you are like, yeah, you got scared a little bit, but you're like, you know what? No. This is what I love. I'm going to go do it. That's amazing to hear. And I hope people listening take that as inspiration and be like, yes, it can be scary. Trust me. Working in film is scary these days. Are you kidding? Oh, God. And you go back to it and you're like, listen, I can do this. You can do it. Let's go try it. And you went back and did it. And look where you are now. You're getting big places. You're still doing big things. You're doing what you love. And you never let the child die, which is a very, very good thing.
Yeah, I think with any profession that's creative, there's a little bit of, I don't know, blind confidence, naivete, where you just gotta, you know, trust in yourself. Because I look back at, you know, when I was first starting out in drawing, I was, you know, in the last, not when I was a kid, but in the last couple of years, you know, I draw stuff, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good, that's pretty good. I think I could show this to editors. I think I can shop this around. And now I look back at this stuff and I was like, oh my God, why did they laugh me out of the building? But you got to kind of have a little bit, you know, it's not, you know, you don't want to be a jerk about it and you don't want to be cocky about it, but you, there is a certain amount of blind confidence in yourself.
Yeah.
You think. But the other thing too is, you know, I followed this dream, but I definitely made sure I had a plan in mind,
yes.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
That's why I waited till I was a little bit older and, you know, I was married and my wife worked and, you know, we kind of discussed it together. Like, why don't I give this a shot? Is this something I can do? Is it possible that I can earn little to no money for a while and we'll be okay? So, you know, I want to tell people, follow your dreams, but also be smart about it.
Yeah, have a support system in place just in case.
Just in case.
You know? You never know. You really never know. Now, curious. I don't know if I've ever asked you this of you in the years, because we've known each other for what? How many years now?
Yeah, I don't know. 3 years now, maybe?
3 years? Has it been 3 years? Oh. Oh.
The book's been around for about 3 years. Going on 4 years, yeah.
That's making me kind of feel old a little bit here. Oh, no. As time's gone by. Wow. All right. What are your favorite? Like, what's your favorite characters that you like? Especially the ones growing up. Like, is it just been the same throughout? I mean, obviously you want to start with Batman and X-Men. Is it still that? Or
what's your favorite, man? I'm a Spider-Man kid.
Oh, yes.
Ever since I was a kid. I've always been a Spider-Man kid. Still, I'm a Spider-Man kid. You know, my tastes aren't anything spectacular. I like anything. To be honest, I like characters, but I've always followed creators. I followed artists and writers. So there's characters that, you know, I would never pick up a book unless the particular artist or writer was on it.
Yeah.
You know, like, for instance, like, I've never been a huge Superman fan. Nothing against him. Just not my cup of tea. But I'm a huge Bendis fan, and I've been reading the Superman books as of late with him on them, and they're great.
Right?
You know?
Right, yeah. I respect, like, that makes the most of sense. I know people are, like, iffy on that, but it actually makes sense. It's like, yeah, because you can have a character that's okay, and you can be turned really great, and be like, oh my god, like, Bendis was Superman. Like, yeah, Superman's just, all right. But then, you know, Bendis comes on, and it's just something brand new. Like, they bring something new to the table, I think, is, and that's what you look for. And that's, I like that. That's really neat. Like, me as just characters, and then the artists help, and then also writers as well. But, seeing all that, that's amazing. Like, so there's Superman. What series do you read, though? So, wait, we're never even finished. So, Superman would be one right now that you say would be kind of part of your taste, too, or?
Like, what I'm into at the moment?
Yeah. Like, what comic suits your fancy at the moment that you may be reading?
Oh, God. This is the thing Marcus makes fun of me for, but I read everything, pretty much. You know, so. Yeah. I'm trying to pinpoint what's what am I particularly excited about? I think all the Bendis books that he's been his creator owned stuff that he's been putting out is great.
Mm-hmm.
The new Spider-Man book's good. Nick Spencer and Ryan Otley. I was a big Invincible fan. I'm a big Kirkman fan. Big Otley fan.
Ooh,
Invincible's probably my favorite book.
Good choice.
It's over now, but yeah, those are really good. What am I digging? I really dig the Old Man Hawkeye series that just came out.
I have not read that yet. I wanted to read it, but I'm kind of waiting for it to come in trade a little bit because I got so far behind. Is it really good?
It's really good. I don't know. Are you familiar with the old Thunderbolts run from, like, the late 90s?
A little bit. I've read bits and pieces of it. Is it, like, heavily derived from that?
It might be before your time.
Well, no, I still read older stuff. Come on now.
Sure. But that was like, Thunderbolts was like my prime, like, when, I don't even know when that came out, mid to late 90s.
Something like that.
I think that prior to me being a comic shop employee, so I was like, that was me just as a civilian. That was one of my favorite books. But the old Man Hawkeye book was great because it's basically Hawkeye going on a revenge mission against the Thunderbolts. So, if you know.
Oh, wow.
it was a book I loved back in the day, so it was an interesting take, you know, in 2018 to go back to like a run from the mid-90s and heavily cite that. But it's one of those things that, like, if you were into it at the time, you love it.
I feel it. I know what made me. I'm like, oh, this looks interesting. And I remember seeing it on the shelf one day, and I walked in on a Wednesday on a new comic book day, and I said, oh, Old Man Bullseye. And I'm like, oh, my God, when this comes out, it's getting all my money. It's just like, you hooked me on. I can't, it's too far gone now, but it's like, oh, my Lord, you did Old Man Bullseye.
Yeah. What are you digging right now?
What am I digging? I'm with you on Spider-Man. Like, I love Spider-Man with a passion. And if you couldn't tell, I don't know if you've been seeing the latest on the podcast. We're doing a lot of Spider-Man people on. But I'm with you. So I'm probably going to get made fun of by Marcus on too by this, because I read just about everything too. It makes it for the trouble at the bank. But me, I want to say Superman's on mine. I got Superman, Batman, Green Lantern. I got some big two. I got Spawn. Well, I know definitely for sure. Spider-Man's on there. What else I got? I got X-Men Gold.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. What is my pull list looking? I got Young Justice going on.
Young Justice, I just read it last night. It was good.
Yes. Oh, yeah. DC series. That I got. It was my first ever DC series I read as a kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. Oh.
It was a great. You know what I just picked up that I really dig is Kieran Gillen's doing a book called Die.
I've heard of this book, and it sounds really good.
I really dig it. There's two. The second issue just came out this week, and I really dig it. It's basically D&D Jumanji.
Oh, so that's what I've been hearing. But, that's everyone's analogy of it. I'm like, oh my God, that's so perfect. Oh.
It's a fun book, yeah. I mean, some other stuff, you know, I follow a lot of artists, so I'll follow. There's certain artists that I'll read anything they do.
Makes sense.
Like, I'm a big David Marquez fan.
Mm-hmm.
He's on Avengers right now. But I'd probably be reading that book anyway because I really like Jason Aaron. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Pepe Larraz. He just did the Extermination book.
Ooh,
yeah,
true.
X-Men kind of sent the young X-Men back into the past.
Yeah.
Dig his stuff. And the other thing I'm digging, too, is Heroes in Crisis. I'm a huge Clay Mann fan. He's doing insane stuff on that book.
Yeah, have you been digging that? It's such a... Before we move on, because I want to get back to you a little bit here, but before we do that, it's such a 50-50 on Heroes in Crisis right now. Like, I'm saying I like it, but then people are like, you're an idiot. And then it's like, oh, no, you're amazing for thinking. I was like, I'm glad I finally met someone else really who likes it too. Like, is it storyline that you like it, or is it just really art? Or is it just both?
You know, the story... I don't know what the story is yet, so it's hard to tell.
That's true.
It's intriguing so far. You know, there's certain characters that were killed without spoiling it to anybody, and I have questions about those. Yeah. Like, why would you kill that character? Why would you do that? But I think until the book's over, you can't judge it.
That's true. It is one of those that I think could be better once you get it collected in a trade or hardcover back. Like, I really – that seems – It wasn't just a way. I'm going to stop you because it wasn't just a few characters. There was a lot of characters that got killed in that book.
There was a lot of characters, but there were some of the more prominent ones.
That's
true.
You know,
the ones that are shocking that you would say, why would they kill that character? Why are they, you know, there's a lot of cannon fodder.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, who? I remember some of them like, wait, oh my God, that's been a lot. That person still was around? I thought they died a long time ago. I was like, all right, fair enough, but... Getting back to you, Jason, what do you think, what was the, because I want to, like, it feels kind of weird talking about Voracious without Marcus on here, but how did you land the job at Marvel, getting to Doctor Strange / The Punisher, Magic Bullets?
So, it was a couple summers ago, I want to say Voracious was either picked up by Action Lab or right about to be picked up. Mm. I can't remember if it had been picked up or not. And I was going to go to the San Diego Comic-Con for the first time. I had put my name in the lottery, and my name got picked. And so my wife and I decided we're going to do a California road trip. So we started in like San Francisco and took 2 weeks and drove down to San Diego. Mm. The last stop was going to Comic-Con. So right before Comic-Con, Mark Waid, Marvel writer Mark Wade.
Yeah, big name. Yeah.
Kingdom Come, Captain America, Daredevil. He was running a website for a while called Thrillbent, which was his version of digital comics. They were kind of like laid out, I guess it's like horizontal PDFs, and they had a subscription business model. But it was a lot of creators just kind of doing whatever they want. He was accepting a lot of submissions. And he put up this post that said, find me at Comic-Con. I want to do a book with an unpublished, unknown artist. You know, so bring your portfolio over. I'll take a look at it. I'm going to pick some person and we're gonna collaborate on something that's going to be published on Thrillbent. So I happened to be going to Comic-Con that year for the very first time. Found him. There's a line. Waited in my line. Showed him my work. I want to say it was I think I showed him the third issue of Voracious, because at that point, Marks and I were just trying to work ahead so that we could bank a bunch of issues. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't published yet technically, and I don't know if the book was picked up or not at that point. So I showed him my work. He said really nice things about it. Maybe 3 weeks later, I get an email from him. I almost forgot about it, and he said, "Hey man, I was thinking about it, and I decided you were the winner. Ooh. I want to do the story with you." And I was freaking out. It was awesome. It was crazy that my first published work was going to be a collaboration with Mark Wade.
Yeah, that's huge. That just automatically is. Oh, who is the first person that you did a collaboration with? A big two? Oh, Mark Wade. What?
It was crazy. So we did the story together. I had a lot of fun. It came out, and then shortly after that, Voracious came out. So I was able to ask Mark to review the book. He gave us a nice quote. It was really cool of him. So then maybe a year later, I get a random email from Nick Lowe at Marvel, and I think over that course of time I had been submitting my portfolio when they were at shows, and I had talked to them and they give me a lot of good feedback, and I just got this email out of the blue, and he said, we're doing these Infinity comics, and what they are is they're digital comics made for their particular app. But they're laid out in a sense where panels can overlap each other, and they can be arranged in any kind of fashion. So they're not laid out like a regular comic page. You have to have kind of a cinematic sense to it, because it's just a different way of storytelling. And he said, I was talking with Mark Wade, and I was like, "Do you know anyone that would be good at laying this out?" And Mark dropped your name.
Oh, and, damn. Ooh.
Yeah. Which was so incredibly generous of him. Yeah. So they said, "Do you want to do this?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely." But the deal was, so they had an artist on the book, so I was just going to do layouts for the artist. So we were kind of tag-teaming it. Mm-hmm. So they'd send me the script, and I'd do the layouts. And since I had done this thing on Thrillbent, Mark felt like I knew how to approach it from a different sense, Mm-hmm. So, that's how I got the gig. It was just completely by someone dropping my name in the Marvel editorial offices.
That's amazing. And that's still got to give you the jitters a little bit of, especially, younger you of being oh, they knew my name in the office. Yes.
Yes, totally. So
yeah.
The first time I got a paycheck from Marvel Comics was crazy.
Oh, my God. Did you take a picture of it?
It came from the office, yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'd kill. There'd be just no. I'd be like, just I'd be calling people. I'd be calling my folks. Be like, "You wouldn't believe what just happened. What? You got the management position? No, not that. Movie gig? No, not that. I'm working on Marvel. What? Nah. What'd you smoke? What'd you drink? What happened?" There'd be none of that. Wow.
We've been doing Voracious for a while, and everyone's like, "Oh, that's awesome! You got your book," and they're all really supportive of it. But once you tell people you work for Marvel, they're like, "Oh, I know what that is."
Oh yeah,
And I knew what Doctor Strange is. I've seen the movie, and the book came out right around when the movie was coming out too, which was cool.
Yeah,
so I could say "Hey, you know that movie that's out?" And they're like, "Yeah," I'm working on that character.
That's cool. Man, was it tough? How was it kind of taking on doing those characters, at least, Punisher and Doctor Strange? Were you ever fans of them? Or did that ever incorporate a little bit to them? Or were these guys kind of new for you and then the world of magic and demons and such? Alrighty, folks, don't you dare just go yet, because I have with me a special guest. Now, do you have some landscaping problems? Do you have something that, you need some help with in the good old-fashioned outdoors? Well, I have with me here today a very special guest, Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name's Jesse Ewing. I'm the owner of Ewing Land Management, LLC.
That's right, folks. Right now, this can be considered a sponsor. Jesse here is a sponsor of us. Ewing Land Management is a sponsor of the Comic Chronicle podcast. And, you know, we wanted to bring him on here today because, you know, people need help. And Jesse needs work as well. So it's all, those two and two, they work together sort of thing. Today, folks, and Jesse, kind of give a backstory. What is Ewing Land Management?
Ewing Land Management is a young and growing company. We specialize in basically everything to do with tree care, removal, pruning, planting, pest diagnosis, hazard diagnosis, and mitigation, and some general landscaping services like FireWise, thinning brush for fire safety and things of that nature too.
So things that people desperately need. So that's what you do. Now, you've been doing this for how long?
Just about 20 years.
About 20 years. So this is to say, folks, he's experienced. He's very experienced. Now, where exactly do you operate?
We operate out of Payson, Arizona. We operate in basically the greater Arizona, the whole state. We also operate in New Mexico and parts of California.
All right. So folks in those areas, give Jesse a call. Now, where can they contact you at, Jesse?
You can contact us at 928-363-1893. You can contact us through our website, which is www.ewinglandmanagement.com. You can also contact us through our Facebook page at Ewing Land Management LLC.
And folks, that's where you can find Jesse at today. And make sure you guys give him a contact. You hit him up, go whatever. You can also check out the website as well. Be sure to check out that website, ewinglandmanagement.com, because you guys can see all of his work that he's done so far. You can see how they operate, equipment, and everything else as such. So folks, make sure you go check him out. Now, back to the show.
You know, probably, I wasn't a huge Doctor Strange or Punisher fan.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I don't have anything against them. They're just not in my, you know, I'm a Spider-Man kid, an X-Men kid, Avengers kid. Yeah, not so much, but it was a magic book, ton of monsters, so drawing monsters is cool. In the last issue, there was a scene where the Avengers and the Fantastic Four and the X-Men show up, and they kind of help clean up the scene. And I could tell the writer wanted to write those characters, and I really wanted to draw those characters, so it was awesome to, like, kind of take on those characters right at the end.
That's true. But,
the book was totally fun, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I said there's not a character I wouldn't want to draw, to be honest.
I, as a fellow guy who likes to read everything, that's the problem, is that we love everything, so I can definitely see where that could come into play, because you just want to, like, oh, this character, you want to draw it? Yes, this character. It's like a Z-level character. Do you know him or her? Yes, I'm going to draw it.
Totally.
Is there any, like, what would be, so is Spider-Man on top of that list, or is there a certain spider character that you'd want to, say you get, they call you. They say, listen, you can do whatever spider character you want. Who are you doing?
I mean, you got to do Spider-Man, right?
That's true. Well, there's like 50 billion Spider-Men. I mean, like, what do you do?
Yes, I would do, you know what? I would do Spider-Man. I would do Miles. I would do Gwen. I like them all.
Do them all?
Yeah.
Fair enough. That's a good choice. It's like only choose one, but all would be good. That makes sense. I don't know. It's... how are you? I'm curious, so I want your opinion on this before we move on. Did you read the late Charles Soule's Daredevil run?
I am reading it, and I'm not completely up to date. Actually, Marcuson had just loaned me those books, so.
Oh, shoot, okay.
About halfway through the run.
Oh, are you liking it?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
I like Charles Soule. I'm a big Charles Soule. Another book I love is the Darth Vader book he did. It just wrapped up. They just finished it, but it was great.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was glorious. It was a glorious, super well-done book. Well done. All right. Now, I do want to say is I do kind of want to give a shout-out for Voracious and such, too, right now, man. Now, for the good folks at home, I know, like, it's a lot, but what would be, like, the best way to sum it up without spoiling too much for folks to go check out Voracious and then tune in May?
Okay, so if you've never read Voracious, Voracious is a book from Action Lab by myself and Mark Sannazzo about a chef named Nate. who loses his restaurant in a big fire, and he kind of doesn't know what to do with his life because his whole life was wrapped up in the restaurant, and his sister was also happened to be in the restaurant when it burned down, so she died. So he returns to his hometown, kind of directionless. Through the course of the story, discovers he has an uncle, an estranged kind of hermit uncle living in the mountains who has invented this time machine. Nate travels back to the time of the dinosaurs. While he's there, he accidentally kills a dinosaur, ends up eating it, finds out dinosaurs taste delicious, decides to open up a restaurant that secretly serves dinosaur meat. So the first arc of the book is kind of about Nate and his dinosaur adventures, you know, kind of keeping the secret from his friends and family. And then at the end of the first trade, Nate discovers that messing with time travel has serious repercussions. And, you know, without spoiling anything, the whole second arc is about kind of the other side of things. Like, Nate screwed something up for someone with his time travel. And we kind of get the other side of the story. And so the second arc of the book is about those characters and how Nate has affected them. And so we're coming back in May for the final volume of Voracious called Appetite for Destruction. And it's kind of the conclusion of everything. It's Nate, it's these other characters, they're all colliding, and they have to resolve their differences and fix the messes that they've created.
It's superbly tough to not spoil this when you're trying to say what it is. It's so tough. It really, they're like, what's this book about? I'm like, oh God, how do I say this? Because with what happens in volume two, you just want to talk about it. You just want to be like, listen, it's so crazy, it's so good, you ain't going to believe it, and you're going to fall madly in love even more with the series. Oh. Oh, man. Now, Voracious is just, there's so much to talk about with it, but I don't want to spoil anything with it, man. So, what?
You could tell people to close their ears for 10 minutes.
That's true.
Well, it is tough. The book has a lot of twists and turns, and one of the big twists of the book completely changes the direction of it. So
yeah,
it's hard to talk about it without talking about that twist.
Didn't we talk about it when you and Marcusan were on here a few months ago?
I believe so. Probably.
Go check out that previous episode. I'll link it down below. Go check out that previous episode because then we can actually really talk about it. And plus, Marcusan was it too, and. It's so worth it. Yeah, because we were doing Appetite of Destruction, and we were talking about that. So, yeah, we have to talk about Volume 2. Go check that out in an older episode, folks. Well worth the time, and you get to learn more about it. And then come back. So press pause. Go listen to your older episode. Find out the information about it. Well, first go read it. And then go listen to another episode, and then come back and press play. That's a lot of fucking homework. But Voracious, man. So I want to say is, how has it been working on this series? Now, it's coming. You're saying it's coming to an end, right?
It is. This is the final arc of Voracious. And actually, I'm currently, as we're speaking, I am drawing page 24 of the final issue. I am almost done with the book.
That makes me smile.
We are almost done creating it.
I want to smile, man, but I want to shed a tear. Because I'm like, oh, yes, that's amazing. But then part of me is like, oh, no, it's ending.
Yeah. You know, and that's kind of how I feel, too. The book was a dream come true. It was literally the first series I ever really did.
Really?
Which is interesting. You know, that's not a common thing in comics to, you know, Markson and I came up with the book together. We pitched it, and we pretty much got it picked up right away. There was one company that was interested in it, and things didn't work out, and it kind of fell through. And then within, you know, very shortly after that, Action Lab picked it up.
Yeah.
Which is not a common thing for, you know, your first book to be picked up. And what's even less common is we'd always planned it as like a three arc, you know, roughly 15 issue book, which again is not something you're supposed to do on your first outing. Is come up with this, you know, large long run, which is long for indie comics, you know, 15 issues for your first book. You know, you're supposed to do a miniseries, you're supposed to do a 4 issue, a 5 issue. So it's been amazing, but it is weird because it's our first book. You know, my first published work is out there to see. It's tough to look at personally for me because, you know, all I see is the mistakes, but that's what comes with, you know, having the first thing you ever work on be published, which isn't a common thing, and I'm very grateful for it.
It's true.
So it coming to a close is very, you know, I have a lot of mixed emotions. On the one hand, I want wrap up the story. I feel like we've been building towards its conclusion, and I want to get there, and I want to put it to bed. But, you know, as I'm drawing this final issue, I'm thinking, like, oh, man, this is the last time I'm going to draw the diner, and this is the last time I'm going to draw this character, and this is the last time I'm going to draw the high-tech lab that Nate is in and all this stuff. So it's kind of hitting me in these last few pages.
We got to mention, though, if we're talking about Voracious, Jason, we definitely have to talk about the fan support, though. Because uncanny fan support. It's been crazy. Like, it's insane because you guys did Kickstarter for Volume 2 and Volume 3. And, right? Yeah. And
yes.
It's been the full support on there. Did you guys ever expect anything like that from what you've been getting from it? Like, you guys get really cool awards, though. Don't get me wrong. The rewards, really awesome. I got a bunch still. They're hanging on my wall. But, in the studio. But the fan support is just uncanny. It's insane because you're like, okay, Kickstarter, and then all the fans come in, and we really want to see it. So the support of this has really been strong for it. How's it been for you and Marcus-san on that side of things with the fan support?
You know, that stuff is awesome. Yeah. We always joke that in the beginning we were doing this book, and it was like just for us. You know, like the book didn't exist because it was just, you know, him and I, and he would write it and I would draw it, and we were just banking issues hoping that someone would pick it up.
Yeah.
And have it go out in the world and have, it's always weird to, because comics is a very, you know, it's one of those industries where, you know, you collaborate with a couple people, but by and large, it's, you know, three or four people at most are working on a book.
Yeah.
You know, maybe at a bigger two company, you got, you know, your multiple editors and whatnot. But for an indie book, there could be as few as one person doing this book. So it's always weird to see your stuff out in the world and have someone comment on it. Because it's such a personal thing to you. It's this thing that just sort of exists, like, on your drawing pad or on your computer. And to have someone, you know, critique story points or say, you know, I really loved it when this happened. And you're like, you know what? I really loved making that.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
So having this is amazing, you know. Having people tell us their favorite moments or, you know, you go to cons. The one of the first things that blew our mind was someone had emailed us, a friend of ours, a fellow creator, was at a random con, and someone was cosplaying as Nate.
What?
And it blew our minds. And we had put it out there. We put it on our Twitter and on our Facebook, and we said, who are you?
Yeah.
Are you a cosplayer? You know, we need to meet you. We need to talk to you. So that was that was really gratifying. So, yeah, knowing people are loving the book is super rewarding. You know, you make the book you want to read. You put the cool things into it that you think are cool, that you're excited about, and you just hope that, you know, people gravitate towards it.
Yeah,
it's crazy too when people come up to us and they'll tell us theories of where the book's going, which is insane too to me because it's just weird. I don't know, because we're making up the book ourselves. You know, so have someone go like, here's what I think is going to happen, and you're like, well, maybe, maybe not, you know.
You can't spoil it.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's amazing. The support's amazing. We ran two Kickstarters to get the book funded, and both were successfully run, and, yeah, that's the most rewarding part, because you want book in hands of people that are excited about it. People like you. I mean, yeah. You were one of our first fans that really told us how much you loved the book and really responded to it. And, you know, you can tell when someone reads something. You can tell when someone, like, really, really reads something, you know?
That's true. Really enjoys it, sits down, actually enjoys the art, enjoys the words, enjoys the story that comes from the page. Like, opens the book and is able to, like, dive into that world. Like, some people just open it and, like, whatever. But then you get the people, I hate to toot my own horn, like myself. Thank you for that comment, by the way. I love that. And we dive into the world. Like, issue one, you guys had me so hooked. It was insane. Like, a lot of times a first issue takes a little bit to get you hooked, especially in comic. Like, comic-wise, it's so tough. Because, you know, issue one, you got to do, it's like a pilot for a TV show, basically, is what it is. And if you're able to make it so everything's on par, everything's on point, the train's rolling, you open that book up, and you're like, oh my god, I'm on page 4, and I want more. Like, what is happening here? Like, it's, what is this? What is this new book? And since then, I remember seeing it on the shelf. I remember seeing your art. And you guys, by the way, the variant covers, I applaud. Like, I hugely applaud that, because you guys went nuts on the variant covers, especially for... was it issue one that had the most? Or is it just in general? Like, oh, no, it's in general. Like, you had the different episode, like, different issues had, like, different covers and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, we have a variant on every issue.
Yeah.
It's something Action Lab encourages, you know, to help bolster sales. So Markson's been really good about that. Markson's actually the one that goes out and finds people and talks to artists. You know, he's gotten some pretty cool people to work on the book. He got, you know, in our first arc, we got John McCrae to do a cover. You know, John McCrae from Hitman and a ton of, like, 2000 AD.
Yeah.
Book. He did a cover for us, and we just got some cool artists lined up. He's really good about networking and meeting people and getting people. You know, sometimes people are fans of the book. Sometimes he introduces it to them and they become fans of the book, and they'll do the cover for us. So that's been really exciting. And me as the artist, it's cool for me because I get to see our characters interpreted. Because again, because it's just between Markson and I, you know, anytime a character looks a certain way, that was 100% me. Well, obviously Markson, you know, we talk the things out, but it's 100% the two of us. So it's always fun to see someone interpret our characters and think like, oh, that's how you think that suit looks, or that's what your take on that person is, you know? Because I spend a lot of time thinking about how I want to approach the look of each character. So it's always fun to see how someone else wants to, you know, approach the look of a character.
It's true. It's true. Like, you get to see, like, the new takes on stuff, which is always fun to see. I think that's one beauty of comics now. It's good that you like that, you're a fan of that, because I've met artists in the past who are like, oh no, your version of it is completely terrible, mine is the best. Like, nah, buddy, come on. But being inclusive, I think, is something. And that's why I love you, Jason. I love Markson, because you guys are so inclusive, and it's very wonderful to see in so many ways, because you get to see these people who are nice and caring, and they make what you love. And it's like, yay! So behind the page, they're not assholes. Yay!
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we are always humbled when people tell us how much they like the book, you know. So we went to Rose City Comic Con in the fall, and a woman gave us some fan art. She just came up. She's like, I love the book. I saw you guys are going to be here, so last night I drew this for you, which we were super touched by. It was awesome, and we're actually going to run it in the book. It's going to be in, I want to say, issue one or two, we put her fan art, because, you know, we're just as excited to hear people are fans of the book as they are to, you know, talk to us about the book.
That's true. You guys really included stuff with that. That's, to hear that, Jason, is just a pure amazement right there. But I gotta ask, man, after Voracious, what's next for you? What's the next plan? Like, what do you think is going on here? What's your next adventure?
Markson and I have been, brainstorming some ideas for some new series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have this approach that this time we both have a few different ideas. He brought some ideas. I actually brought an idea to him that I was like, you know what? If you don't like this, I'll write it myself. I have no problem with that. But he's like, no, I think it's cool. I think we can do something with that. Let me noodle it around a little bit. And so we have a couple ideas of something we want to do next, and we might actually come up with a. Start a couple different ideas. You know, do a few different pitches and see which one sticks. You know, instead of going one way, we might just do all of them, you know, maybe do 5-10 pages of multiple ideas and see, you know, which one sticks out there and see which one people are responding to.
That would be cool.
So that's what we think we want to do. And so we might do a few different pitches. I'll probably do a little bit of fill-in work just to keep from getting rusty and
pay the bills.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, obviously, Voracious, the new series hasn't even started yet. You know, behind the scenes, we're almost done with it. But but hopefully by the time the last arc wraps up, we'll have decided on a new book. But yeah, we definitely want to work together again. We definitely have a lot of ideas. Something different, you know. Voracious was a pretty, you know, it's very heavy sci-fi, so we might move away from sci-fi and just do something different, you know, to mix it up.
I would like, what would be, I don't want you to give anything out, because I'm so curious on what those might be. What would be some subjects or some things you'd want to tackle? Like, you don't have to say anything that you and Markson are working on, but, like, say for yourself, for a type of series that you guys work on, what would be something are interested in pursuing? Like, what would be your kind of indie book that you would like to see out there, another your series out there for fans?
You know, I think the things we've been personally leaning towards is maybe doing something a little more either fantasy-based, you know, like your magic, your sorcery, your creatures, or possibly even something superhero-y. You know, the two of us both love superheroes. So we brainstormed some ideas of something interesting, something that hasn't been done with a superhero before. So I think that's where our mindset is. But really, really open to anything as long as it seems like a cool idea.
I like it, man. Would aliens happen to be on that list?
Aliens?
Anything to do with extraterrestrials?
Alien pitches. You know, Voracious does feature a little bit of, like, alien-esque kind of
true
stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. I was just...
Stuff as an artist, you know, as an artist...
Yeah.
When you draw certain things for a while, you know, it's not like you hate them, but you want to mix it up. So, you know, Voracious features a lot of, like, sci-fi elements, technology. So that's why I feel like I'm leaning more towards like a fantasy book or a superhero book. Like get away from that kind of tech for a while and draw something maybe more organic, maybe special effecty, you know, like your magics, your creatures, stuff like that.
I could see just, you guys doing good
just
work.
Just do something different, you know?
Yeah.
Stretch muscles.
Yeah, you do. Like, it's best to do that. Like, you just do like, oh, he's only really good at that. And it's like, oh, he's only doing that. Like, you mentioned before, by the way, that for Marvel, they wanted to do the Infinity. So they said they wanted more theatrical art?
For the Infinity comic?
Yeah.
So the way the Infinity comics work is as you click the screen, the panels come onto the page. So the panels don't have to show up in any particular order, in any particular placement, rather. Obviously, it'd be in order. So panels can overlap, you know. If you want a character, say he looks to the left, and then you want him to look to the right. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing two consecutive panels, you can have that panel that he looks to the left, and then the panel where he looks to the right go right on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So the panels can be laid out in a way that you can alter the storytelling.
Okay, I dig that. Okay.
There was a scene in the book where Doctor Strange got in this magic biplane, and the plane was under a bridge, and it was upside down.
That's so true.
So, like, I could do the panels in a way where they start to, as you're clicking through the book, the panels start to flip upside down. And what I had him do is he hopped on the biplane, and he took off, and as he took off, he was going to do kind of like a loop-de-loop to get right again, upright.
Hmm.
And so I took the panels, and I started laying out the panels in that kind of loop formation, so they kind of overlapped each other, and as you clicked, the panels would overlap each other and kind of make that form. And then the last second, I had the plane kind of change direction and come out right at the reader. So the last panel, he was like bursting through the panel. So you can do a thing where like elements in a panel can move and all the other elements can stay the same, or a panel can overlap another one in a way. So you can kind of do stuff that you just couldn't do on a static page.
That makes sense. I like that. I like that little new twist on it. I was curious on that, because, and that actually sounds really kick-ass. I don't usually do digital comics that much. I'm a fan of the floppies, what can I say? I was curious, though, because with your art, Jason, it really stands out there. Like, no BS, nothing like that. It really stands out there, and it really pops off the page, which I think is what captured a lot of people's attention on Voracious, and for Doctor Strange and the Punisher. Because everything kind of, like, it pops. Now, I was kind of getting with that is, what tips, because I know, obviously, if you're a comic artist and you're listening right now, you may be a little bit curious on this, what would be some tips that you'd want to give out there for artists? Say the artist listening right now, you're like a teacher, and you've got like a little bit of advice that you'd want to give some future comic artists, or artists in general.
Well, first I want to say that I'm still learning myself, so like, you know, I don't want to... sound like I know I've learned everything. I can only dispense what the advice that was given to me, you know.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good
stuff that I'm personally working on.
Yeah.
I work digital, so that's one thing to know. Because there's kind of, I don't want to say there's completely different rules for digital, but there is things you do differently when you work digital. You know, general comic, you know, if you're just starting out drawing comics, you know, obviously, you want to get your fundamentals, your anatomy, you know, your light and your shadow. You know, it's always good to draw stuff other than comics. You know, I do figure drawing classes a lot where a model will come in and we'll draw, and that's very different from comics. So you want to make sure you're not just drawing comic art. You want to round out your fantastic experiences. But advice I can give is like, you know, the advice given to me was always like, work on your layouts, you know, make sure your action flows correctly, you know, stuff, you know, we read left to right. So you want to make sure your action is flowing left to right. You want to make sure your action flows very smoothly from panel to panel. You know, you want to make sure you're varying up your panels where you're getting a good amount of zoom ins. You're getting a good amount of like zooms out, zoom outs. You want to make sure you can tell where the environment your character's in. You know, work on your backgrounds. You know, when a scene starts, like, you should know exactly the environment the character's in. You know, it doesn't have to be the very first panel, but somewhere along the line in that scene, you want to pull out enough where you can tell, like, okay, they are in a warehouse right now. They're in a jungle. You know, and drawing comics also, you got to just be able to draw everything. You got to be able to draw dinosaurs, guns, money, faces, aliens.
Yeah.
You know, generic boring stuff, cups and doorknobs, and notebooks and stuff like that. So it's good to study too. Study the world around you. You know, I look at a lot of faces when I'm out in the world. I'll look at a face. I'm like, oh, that's an interesting face. I can make that a background character. You know,
yeah.
Study certain little things about people, the way they sit, a lot of body language. That's another big thing about comics is comics are the illusion of movement. So panels should feel like they're moving, even though they're not. You want to trick the reader into feeling like they're moving. Even when, like, a character's standing still and talking, they have to feel like they have life to them. You know, the worst thing you can do is have very stiff characters. Readers can feel that instantaneously. So you want to, like, work on things that create movement, you know, hair blowing or fabric moving or dust or hair, you know, just elements that, you know, like that make it feel like the characters are living and breathing. You know, and every artist is different. Every style is different. Some artists are more exaggerated and can get really into that. Some artists are more photorealistic. So, you know, you got to go your own path, but, you know, you got to be able to number one, you got to tell the story. There's certain artists, you know, there's certain artists that people will look at and they'll say, this guy or girl, I don't really like their art. I don't know why they're, you know, why do people hire them? Why are they considered good? You know, it might not appeal to you, but maybe they're just an excellent storyteller, you know, that they get everything that needs to come across, you know, right on the page there. You can tell real easily what they're trying to do. So number one is storytelling. Before you know, some people want to work on their style and get this down or get that down, but like, if you can't tell the story, if the reader does not know what's happening in a panel, then you failed.
Hey there, folks, this is your host Dakota Morgan coming right back at you, and I hope you're not tuning out just yet because you can be part of the Comic Chronicle podcast. That's right, you can come on the show. Well, how do you do such a thing? Well, folks, that is in when we hit our $100 mark on our brand new Patreon page. That's right, we have our own little Patreon page for the Comic Chronicle podcast, where if you donate $1 to $10 a month, tier 1, $1, tier 2, $5, tier 3, that is $10. Now, if we make a $100 mark, then definitely I choose a listener like yourself and bring them on for a comics and coffee talk show. Now, we talk about whatever the listener you may want to know, whichever you want to talk about, folks. It's all up to you. Now, and of course, with each tier, you get fun exclusive prizes. You get your name on the show as well. For some of them, you get your own little you as a hero on a Comic Chronicle exclusive comic book cover, online only. And, you know, a lot more other prizes. You know, the Wall of Heroes as well. You get your name on the monthly social media post of the Wall of Heroes, with the $5 and $10 tiers on there only. But your name is on there, the $5 Speedsters and the $10 Vigilantes. Them guys get on there once a month. Big shout out to you guys on the FanCorp social media page. So, folks, if you want to be a part of such a thing, go ahead, go to patreon.com/comicchronicle. That's patreon.com/comicchronicle, and I hope to talk to you on the show very soon.
No matter how cool that drawing is, how cool the rendering is, how cool the shadowing is, whatever, if you don't know what's going on in that panel, then it's a failure. So those would be the general tips I would give, you know?
That's some solid advice. Like, very, very solid advice. I'm not an artist, so, but I can tell. That is very helpful advice that you just gave, Jason. And I hope if people listen to it and actually take heart to it and because I'm even like moved by it. I'm like, oh shit, like, all right. And you know, this guy knows what he's talking about, ladies and gentlemen, because he's got Voracious, he's got Doctor Strange, Punisher, he's got Trevilla, he's got some really good shit out there, and he's got an epic fan base. So that's all I got to say too is, this guy knows it. Take it to heart. Take the inspiration. Make something great. Follow your dreams. Have a support system, as we've talked about earlier, but follow your dreams.
Leap in, but, you know, make sure you got a parachute of some sort.
Yeah.
There's a certain amount of, you know, there's a certain amount of taking a risk. Everything's a risk in life, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But,
Poltergeist.
You know, don't go in tomorrow and quit your job.
No.
Page one, panel one, here we go.
Yeah, no, don't do that. You gotta poltergeist it. You gotta go, you gotta leap into that new world of whatever may be, but have that rope attached to your waist and have someone there, like, a little bit of, like, here, hang on, okay, we're going in. Pull me back if anything happens. Oh, wow. Like,
yeah, well, I think with any creative endeavor, whether it's music, art, film, you're gonna be pulling a lot of double duty. You're gonna be working your job during the day and working on your art, and then hopefully eventually your nighttime job becomes your daytime job. But
yeah,
there's a lot of hours, there's a lot of weekends that you gotta do to get to that point.
True. It's so absolutely true. No matter what you do in the creative arts, like, I remember, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter or whatnot. I was an art department for a Krampus movie, and I got to do all the World War One stuff. Like, I got to design a lot of it too, and build a lot. Like, I couldn't even tell you the hours spent after trying to get props together, trying to get costumes together. Like, the hours spent on this stuff is, and then being a writer now on scripts and articles and whatnot too, and even doing podcast stuff for the network. The hours and the time he spends sitting down. I mean, you're doing this show, and you're also finishing page 24, and it's like you're doing what you love. But then also having a good time, too. And it's like, yeah, and you do work, and it's like, what, 9 o'clock in Illinois right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, about 9. So it's 9 o'clock at night, you're doing the podcast, you're talking about what you love, and also doing what you love. That's a win-win.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. You said you worked on the art in Krampus.
Yeah.
I dig that movie. I was actually just watching that movie not too long ago.
Which one? It was Krampus Origins. It was an indie film. It might not be the it's not the Hollywood one that you may have seen.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Then that was not the one I was watching.
No, right. The one, I thank you though for that, but the one I did is that you can pick it up at Walmart. It's on Amazon, it's on iTunes and stuff like that, but I was thinking, and I'm like, Jason, thank you. And it's like, oh no, the Hollywood one is out. Yeah, I like that one, though. That's a good one.
But, yeah, well, tell me about what you did in the movie. Now, I'm interested.
What did I do? Oh, so I worked art department, and I on all that they asked me to be World War One stuff. So I worked at, welcome to Comic Chronicle, folks. Basically, I helped design the German and American suits. I helped build them. We helped make sure they were okay. Like, they wanted, they're like, okay, we got supplies. You can help us build it. Like, yeah, sure. Okay, we need you to make sure everything looks right and historical accurate. Like, yeah, sure. Because I know history and stuff like that and wars and did stuff with the military for a while. So I was able to do that. So, and also helped build the props and help build the sets. And so I'm on the movie sets working on that and during the scenes and we're rebuilding the sets, putting the costume stuff on. And hell, you never know what can happen, folks, because I'm sitting there working at the department. They're like, we need an extra and we don't have any extras right now. I'm like, okay, well, I can make a couple phone calls. They said, nope, suit up. You got an extra suit? I'm like, yeah, suit up. So I get killed in the movie as a World War One German soldier because I get in a gun day, like, okay, so you can put it on, right? I'm like, yeah, put it on for everyone else. Great. And World War One is a pain in the ass to design and build. I will tell you that for sure, especially on a budget. And I suited up. I was a German soldier. I got in a gunfight. I got to be shot in the head and killed. And, you know, they get to see me in there. So that's what I got to do. And then I got to also work camera crew in some scenes when we did, because it was the World War One was the beginning and intro, and then the rest of the movie took place in an orphanage. And I did a bunch of camera work scenes, help with camera scenes, make sure the camera looks good, make sure the set looks good for it, help with lighting a little bit, artistic sights of stuff. That was what I did on that film, and I've done a few other films too. Mostly we do camera and help design and build stuff. When I usually work art department is my duty, and every now and then writing my stuff, but. That's been as of late.
That sounds awesome.
Thanks, man. It was months. 6 months of work. Yeah. But that's what I did. So you never know where it can take you. Like, and all I came from was knowing one, doing one little photo thing. And then it, from there, it just escalated into something else. So always say yes. I learned, if people listening work in film or trying to get in film, my advice to you is always say yes. Except for, like, pornos. Don't say yes to those. Just say yes, because you never know what that one-time job can bring you. Like, you never know what small thing, because I did a Geico commercial. I was just the guy in the stands. And it was like, okay, fine. I get paid $150 for one day just to sit here in the stands. You sure? I'll wear Diamondback stuff, whatever. And, you know, and then there, I got hooked up with an agency, an acting agency. And it's pilot season. I'll be working on that right now. And so it's acting, writing, assistant directing. You never know what can happen.
Yeah. I think the goal is to say yes to a lot of stuff in the beginning so that eventually you can start saying no to stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dream is to say yes so many times that you can start to say no.
Yeah. They're like, oh, that's a fine. We'll get you on the next one. We know you'll be back. And it's like, yes. It's because I'm not doing this. I don't feel like doing this one. 100% agree. It's so much. But yeah, I like working art is so much fun, I got to say. Working in the creative arts is a lot of fun, and I do employ the people, whether it's comics, it's movies, it's television, it's writing, whatever it may be, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't learned from Jason and myself today, is the creative arts is the business of imagination. It's a little bit of work, but in the end, once you get through with it, it's pretty fun, and it's worth it in the end. And you get to keep your childhood heart alive and your childhood soul alive, like your childhood in your heart and mind. And body and soul will definitely be fine. Like, it survives, and you get to use it every day in what you do. Like, I bet money that you're using it, your childhood mind, everything else like that, is inspiration and voracious, because you get to work with dinosaurs and such in that book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everything I wanted when I was a kid.
You're right.
I was a dinosaur kid, and I was a comic book kid, so...
Hey.
It worked out nicely.
I swear, we're just from different timelines. I swear to God, Jason, because it was like, I was a dinosaur kid because I had a dinosaur show for a little bit, and I worked at the fossil lab until things got really busy. So, dinosaur fan, like, I gotta ask, have you been able to include every dinosaur in Voracious that you've ever wanted to, or is there that one that you couldn't have yet, or you can't, that you wish you could?
Well, the dinosaurs, so the actual dinosaurs in the book are all from the Cretaceous period, and they're all... located in the North America region.
Yeah.
Because in the book, our character goes back, he's from Utah, and he goes back in time to where Utah roughly would have been in the Cretaceous period. So we try to keep the dinosaur specific to that period. So within that framework, yes, I think we've used all the dinosaurs. There's a couple dinosaurs that are going to be in the new volume. There's one dinosaur I've always wanted to use. I've always wanted to use an aquatic dinosaur. Because when I was a kid, I was a big fan of aquatic dinosaurs, mainly because they scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I do like snorkeling. I like going in the ocean, but it also terrifies me. I'm equally allured by it as I am terrified of it. And the idea of just this giant creature swimming around underneath you freaks me out. So I've always wanted to do like a Mosasaurus or something along those lines. So in the final arc, we do get a cool little scene with an underwater dinosaur.
Ooh, you heard it here first, folks. Ooh, that's amazing. That's cool. Ooh, my sister.
It's one of my favorite sequences. I had told Marcus I've always wanted to draw that dinosaur. So he was able to like work it in a really cool scene.
Badass. That's amazing. Oh, and I'm really excited. Oh, no, you. And I will show my sister that. I was like, see, I know these guys who do it. They're really cool folks, because she loves aquatic dinosaur creatures, too. She loves the Mosasaurus. That's her, like, fave. Oh.
Then you will like, there's a big action scene, I want to say in the fourth issue of Appetite for Destruction, that you will be a fan of.
Yes. Oh, yes. I like how, though, if you give a Google for Voracious, like, the number one, like, a lot of the pictures that come up are of that classic T-Rex shot. I don't remember what issue that was from. I think 3 or 4?
Oh, of him, like, eating the smaller dinosaur?
No, it was the headshot of the Rex.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah.
I want to say that is the third issue? Maybe the fourth issue.
That's what I'm thinking. It's third or fourth. It's one of those. Yeah. Yeah? Yeah, Yeah. Yeah, I want to say. Yeah. Oh, man. Now, we've been going on for over an hour. Now, Jason, I got to ask. You got to give it out, man. Final details on Voracious, on where people can pick it up, what people can do to pick it up, and also, like, what details you want to give for it so people can get their hands on it in May.
Voracious, you can pick up. You can go on Amazon. You can get the first two arcs. Volume 1 is Diners, Dinosaurs, and Dives. Yep. And Volume 2 is called Feeding Time.
Expect a plot twist. That's all I gotta say.
Well, I mean, I think just looking at the cover of Volume 2, you'll see what's going on here.
That's true.
And then both those are available on Amazon. They're available digitally on Comixology. And then starting in May, the final arc, Appetite for Destruction, comes out. It's going to be 5 issues. There's a variant cover for every issue. Like I said, I'm drawing the 5th issue, so it's almost done right now, even though we're still a couple months out from release. And, if you like dinosaurs, if you like food.
Yeah, that's true.
Those two things, like wacky sci-fi stuff. I mean, those are the main pitches of the book when we tell people. But once you start reading it, you realize it's a book about character. You know, it's a very character-driven book. It's, you know, the main theme of the book that, you know, Markson can elaborate on this more, but the main theme of the book is loss. Nate experiences a loss. Pretty much all the characters in the book experience some loss of one kind or another. Yeah. And they're all driven by their loss, whether it consumes them, whether it motivates them. So that's kind of the hook of the book. I mean, the hook of the book is eating dinosaurs.
Yeah, it's true.
The thing that keeps you coming back is the characters and the humor and the emotions.
Yeah.
And it, definitely this final arc gets really emotional because some stuff happens.
No spoilers. it kills me to hear that it's ending. It really does. Because I've been up front out there. I've had people read my books as I got all the issues. I've had people read them. People become fans of it. They're pumped for the new series. Like, the third volume. Like, it's... You can expect honest reviews, man. every issue. Is it going to be monthly? Well, yeah. How are we doing this? Is it monthly or weekly?
Yeah, it'll be monthly. It'll be monthly. It'll run from May to probably August. Okay. And you actually read the first 2 issues already because you pledged to the Kickstarter.
Yes, I did.
The first 2 issues. So you kind of know a little bit of the craziness that's going to ensue in the book.
That's true. There's a lot. Okay, that's true. But you know what, though? Because I'm such a fan, I'm still going to pick it up. And I'm still going to put it in my pull box. I'm like, wait, did you read this? And I'm like, yes, I did. But I'm buying the floppy because I love my floppy copies.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, you get new covers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the covers on the first 2 issues will be different than the Kickstarter ones. Ooh. Plus, I believe some of the back matter might be different, too. So you'll get a little bit of a different experience.
Cool. Yes. Cool.
Yeah, so if you want to know any more about Voracious, just search Voracious Comic on Facebook or Twitter's at Voracious Comic. And I'm at Jason Muir, M-U-H-R on Twitter.
See, and you beat me to it.
Most of my stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And by the way, folks, make sure you follow him on there. And Jason, you were smart. I was like, what's your social? But I was going to be like, what's your social next? And you were right on top of it. It's almost like you promote your book. make sure you follow him, folks. I want to say follow Voracious. Follow Jason on there because you post some really good shit. Like, I'm not going to lie. You really do. And you're funny and you're fun on Twitter. And it's nice to see positivity on Twitter.
Yeah, in the last, 2 years, I've made it a point. If there's something I don't like, well, barring any, major, things going on within the country.
Yeah.
But for the most part, if there's something I don't like, I usually keep it to myself. Because I think, you know what? Someone worked really hard on that. I don't want to just... Unless there's a movie that it's so bad it's funny. But for the most part, I try not to tear anybody's art down. Because A, somebody out there probably loves that. And they're probably bummed to see you bad-mouthing it. And B, someone else worked really hard on it. So I try to keep my opinions to myself. So if I love something, I'll talk about it all day. And if I hated something, I'll try to keep it to myself.
Which is... a mindset Twitter should all know of. Please follow Jason's role on Twitter. Please, we need it. Or social media in general. Jesus. Holy Jesus, it's crazy. But, folks, and thank you for I want to say, Jason, thank you for coming on, by the way. It's been a blast having you on here, man. I love talking with you. We, have a nice, relaxing conversation a little bit, and me, I'll go, but... And learn about what you do and more about you, and being able to learn a little bit, give advice to people who maybe want to be an artist or people who aren't artists right now. And that's a beautiful thing. It's why we have the show, is to allow people to escape into what they love. You know, they find out a little bit more about Doctor Strange and the Punisher. They find a little bit more about Voracious. And it's the point of the show. Yeah. Escape into what you like. And I want to say thank you, man.
And if we're at a convention, Mark Stone or myself, come up, talk to us. We love talking comics. We love talking about making comics. We love talking about our comic. If you got a comic, we'll talk about your comic. We just like talking comics.
Right?
I know right now we're scheduled to be at C2E2 in Chicago in April. So that's our first con of the season.
Mm.
There'll probably be some more, but right now that's the first one in the book. So if you're in Chicago, if you're going to C2E2, find us. Chat with us.
You guys still need to come to Phoenix, I swear. I am treating you and Marcus on to dinner when you're in Phoenix. It's on the house.
I guess we gotta go now.
Yeah, right? Free dinner. Now, I didn't say what it is. So be like, hey, where are we going? There's an Arby's down the street. No, I'm kidding. Oh, man. Well, alrighty, folks. Now, if you want to stay, make sure you guys follow Jason and you follow Voracious on social media. And if you want to stay in touch for everything on Comic Chronicle, follow @RealFanCorp on Twitter and Instagram, because we're on the FanCorp Network. And make sure that is @RealFanCorp on Twitter and Instagram, and the FanCorp Network on the Facebook and YouTube. And as always, you can listen to Comic Chronicle on now, brand new today as of this recording, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Podbean.com. So thank you, folks. Make sure you check out Voracious in May. You put it on your poll, or you go to your local comic book store and pick it up, because it's going to be well worth your time. And subscribe so you get more than one issue. So I want to say thank you, Jason, for coming on. Any last words for the ladies and gentlemen at home or in their car or wherever they may be listening?
Thank you for having me, and thank you for checking out the book if you do.
Thanks, guys. And stay classy, Black Fossil.